See verse number 8. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our text this evening will be verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together this evening. And I thank you, Father, for the beauty of your creation. Lord, from the storm that you brought us to the beautiful sunset following it. Lord, we thank you for just the beauty of your handiwork. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your word, that we can have it preserved for us tonight, and I just pray that you speak to our hearts from it. And Father, I pray that you teach us from it, help us to grow in our faith, Father, to grow in our understanding of your word, and that, Father, we would be a people characterized by living by faith. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Very well-known verse, familiar verse. Hit on this passage a lot of times. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And looking at the foundation for faith, foundation for your faith, foundation not just for faith and salvation, which we'll look at, but for our entire life, the foundation of that is the word of God. And we consider a foundation. A foundation provides a scheme, a plan of action. If you have a round foundation for a house, you're going to be building a round house on top of that foundation. If you build a square foundation, you're going to be building a square house. If you build a foundation that has, hundreds of yards of concrete in it, you're probably building a big house. If you're building one that has not a whole lot of concrete, you're not going to be building a big house on that. So the foundation provides a plan of action for what will be built upon it. It provides strength and stability. It provides security. And all those things the Word of God provides for us. And the Word of God certainly is the foundation for our faith. We see a lot of different examples of that. If you would look back to Luke, Luke 16, with the account of the rich man and Lazarus and the exchange between Abraham and the rich man in Luke 16, as the rich man asked Abraham if he could send Lazarus back to his father's house. Verse number 28, he says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Experience, even an experience of seeing one rise from the dead, is not a sufficient foundation for our faith. Abraham made it very clear here, if they won't hear the word of God, they're not going to believe miracles. They're not going to believe if someone rose from the dead. With the Colossians, in Colossians 1, verses 4 through 6, Paul described his hearing of their salvation, of their coming to Christ, Paul was not a part of that church plant. He was in Ephesus and stayed in Ephesus for some time while all of Asia around there was evangelized. Churches were planted. And with the church at Colossae, he did not go there and see this church planted, but he had heard about their faith in Colossians 1 verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. He had heard of their faith, and that faith was based upon the word of God, which was preached to them. And from that word of God, their salvation came about as a result of that. And then their life of faith after that came about because of that same word that continued to bring forth fruit in their life. To the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, he thanked God that when they received the word of God, they received it not as the word of man, but as it was in truth the word of God. And that word effectually worked in them, and their lives were built upon that. In James 1, verses 18 through 21, and we're going to look at this a little bit more in depth later on, so we won't read that right now. But again, there he speaks of the necessity of the Word of God in our life. And when John finished his gospel, in John 20, verse number 31, of all the things he could have written, he said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And we can look at all kinds of other examples where we see that it's the Word of God that is the foundation for our faith, the foundation for our continuing in the faith. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, he encouraged him to continue in the things that he had heard, continue in the Word of God. And we have the great passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17, describing the inspiration of God's Word and what it provides for us and how important the Word of God is in the life of the Christian. But considering the different aspects of a foundation, the first one being that a foundation provides a scheme, a plan of action for us, the Word of God, as the foundation of our faith, does provide us that scheme, that consider a systematic plan of action. That's what a scheme is. And when a foundation is built, the shape of it, the size of it, all those things determine the shape and the size of the building, where the tie downs are at, where all the things that go into the foundation. You can change things afterwards, but it's expensive. If you ever built a house and put the foundation in and realize, you know what, I want to change the roof just a little bit. And that's just a little change in the roof can't be done necessarily unless something happens with the foundation. So it can be very expensive to try to change a building once the foundation is poured. We consider building our faith upon the Word of God as it relates to our salvation. The Word of God is very clear. It gives us a plan of action. I love what Thomas Manton once wrote. He says, sense and natural reason cannot judge aright either of its own misery or the way or recovery from it. So talk about a lost man's condition, that just our own sense and natural reason, we can't figure out how to get out of our problem. If it's left up to us in our misery, the misery that we're in, we men try all sorts of things, but they can never get out of that misery on their own, by their own natural reasoning, by their own scheming. He goes on and says, but faith, improving the scriptures, shuts up the sinner, that he hath no evasion, nor way of escape. Conscience will tell men of a law, and a law of a judge, and of a judgment day, and that he doth not stand upon sound terms with this judge, that he dareth not seriously to think of death in the world to come without horror and amazement. But faith, working upon the scripture, doth make him more distinctly to understand it, and to be most sensibly affected with it. There is a faith required to believe the threatenings of the law as well as the promises of the gospel, to convince men of their cursed estate by nature, without which and is not effectual. Basically tell us as when we're lost, how important it is that we have the Word of God to understand the law, to understand the condemnation that we're under, but also to understand the promises of the gospel. We need them. Now, by faith, the lost understand many things. If you turn back to the book of Romans and turn to chapter 3, Romans 3, and look at verse number 9. In Romans 3, verse 9, says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." And the Word of God provides us our faith with that understanding, that we're all under sin, that we are all under the curse. Galatians 3, verse 10 says that as many are as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And so as we give the Word of God to the lost, you know, the lost, the Bible is very clear that the Word of God is spiritually discerned. And you experienced that as a lost person. If you ever read the Bible as a lost person, lots of it didn't make any sense to you. I remember reading it prior to I was saved, and I don't know what I read, but just thinking back to how confused I was when I read the Bible, I was probably in Chronicles or Leviticus, I would guess. I have no recollection of what I read, except that when I read it, it made no sense to me. I didn't understand it. I believed it to be the Word of God because it was the Bible, and I believed it to be God's Word, but it made no sense to me as a lost person. But as I came to the Word with faith, when the gospel was being shared with me, and by faith I was believing the Word of God, God made me to understand my lost condition and helped me understand that cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book to do them. And the Word of God is that foundation. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." By faith we understand that. By faith, the lost understand their condition. It's the foundation for their understanding of their lostness. And by faith, they desire to flee from the wrath to come. As John the Baptist commanded in Matthew 3, verse 7, you flee from the wrath to come. Those that in faith understand those warnings, by faith, they flee from the wrath to come. Those that reject the Word of God, those that don't believe it, they scoff at it. And we're certainly living in the last stage where it's very clear that there's going to be scoffers. And those that do not believe the Word of God, and we don't need to understand that. But what the scoffers need is still the Word of God. We're not going to convince them by changing our message, being more popular, being more at ease, being more loose. None of those things are going to help the scoffer come to the knowledge of salvation. They still need the Word of God. So as it relates to our salvation, the Word of God is the foundation for our faith as it relates to salvation. It's also, as it relates to our practical sanctification in life, we need the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy word," or through thy truth. "Thy word is truth." Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need the Word of God. If we want to grow in faith, we want to grow in sanctification, you're not going to do that unless you're in the Word of God. Unless you're reading and studying the Word of God. Unless you are abiding in Christ, as he says in John 15, verses 1 through 3, describing himself as the true vine. And he says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That word clean and that word purgeth is talking about the same thing, about being pruned as a tree. A tree that's going to bring forth fruit, it's going to be pruned. So it can bring forth more fruit. Well, how does God prune us? He prunes us. I like what one man, how he would describe sanctification. And this is a good description of sanctification. He says it's the Christianizing of a Christian. You're a Christian as soon as you believe. But how many in here, as soon as you believe, as soon as you came to Christ, you are a Christian, but how many at that point were Christ-like? Anyone? Anyone in here? None of us were Christ-like when we were saved. So what is sanctification? It's the Christianizing of the Christian. It's us becoming more and more like Christ, where the Spirit of God takes His Word and works in our heart to change us to be like the Son of God, to change us into that image. If you would turn over to Ephesians 4, we see some responsibilities that we have as believers according to the Bible. So if we want to know how can I be sanctified according to the Bible, that's the source of my sanctification, the foundation for that. How does it tell me? How can I be sanctified? How am I in that process of sanctification? So in Ephesians 4, we see these same things in James 1. We'll look at both these passages. In Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, sanctification, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Clear pattern here for us in these three verses that we're to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we're to put on the new man. That's what the Bible tells us as far as the process for sanctification. That's the process. We see it put in a little bit different way in James 1, verses 21 through 24. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's James' way of saying what Paul said, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. He said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Let's talk about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's putting on the new man. So a responsibility that we have when we hear the word of God, that there's some, if we want to grow in sanctification, we want to grow to be more like Christ, we need to be putting off the old man. We need to be laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It speaks of mortifying the flesh. Mortifying the flesh. Paul says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. As God's children, the flesh, as we mentioned last Wednesday, as it relates to our faith, to our living by faith, that our flesh carries no weight. It ought not to come into the picture as far as whether or not I want to live by faith and follow God's word. My flesh is going to fight against that. And so I'm not to listen to my flesh. But if I live after my flesh, if I'm going to just care to my flesh, if that's my whole lifestyle, if Paul was looking at my lifestyle and say, boy, you live after your flesh, there'd be nothing that would tell him that I'm a believer. If you look at my life, if I was living after the flesh, you read through Romans 8, Paul's conclusion would be, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. You better figure things out. He says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You shall live. We all want to live our own way, do our own things. And as when we come into this world, what's a child want to do? What's Winslet want to do? Her own way. And she's pretty vocal about it. What does Owen want to do? He wants to do his own thing. What does Daniel want to do? His own thing. What does Zach want to do? His own thing. What do I want to do? My own thing. But hopefully as we're growing in Christ, that's put away. We put that away. If you read through, just consider some of these phrases. I don't want to have you turn to all these passages. I'll just read part of these verses, but you'll get the idea. In Judges 17, verse 6, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Psalm 81:12, they walk in their own counsels. Proverbs 3, verse 5, talks about lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Proverbs 23, verse 4, cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Isaiah 5, verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Romans 12, verse 16, be not wise in your own conceits. Boy, the scriptures are clear that we're not to do our own thing. And as God's children, we are to be mortifying the flesh. That's how important fasting is. Being in the habit of taking time to fast. What is that? That's mortifying your flesh. You want to do one thing. You want to eat certain things. You want to, you know, depending on what kind of fast you do, some people can't do a full fast, or you do a partial fast. You see a lot of partial fasts in the Bible where, think about Daniel and the three Hebrew children. How many in here want to give up meat and just eat pulse? Anyone? Not me. But Daniel and the three Hebrew children purposed in their heart not to defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. So what were they willing to do? Eat pulse. Eat lentils and beans and salad. They were willing to do that. What did that require? That required them putting away some things. Putting away some desires of their own flesh. And God, if we want to grow in sanctification, the Word of God provides us the scheme for that. Mortify your flesh. We need to mortify the flesh. And again, this is not doing it in the flesh. You can mortify the flesh in the flesh. You can mortify certain things while protecting other things. All of this, these things are to be done in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be putting away the old man. And then we need to be growing. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to receive with meekness the engrafted word. This is meditating on the word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through the word of God in our lives. We just finished the book of Joshua, and one of the more well-known verses in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We need to be meditating in the Word of God and delighting in the law of God. And the law of the Lord, as Psalm 1, verse 2, says that we meditate in it day and night. Meditating in God's Word and thinking over God's Word and chewing God's Word and thinking about God's Word and rethinking about it, like a cow bringing up its cud and eating something and laying down and bringing it back up and chewing it some more and swallowing it and then bringing it back up again and chewing it some more and swallowing it. That's what we need to be doing with the Word of nutrition in it. That if you just swallow it once, you're going to be missing out on so much that the Word of God has. How many have experienced, and hopefully everyone in here has experienced this, as you read the Word of God and you just look over at one scripture over and over again and think about it, and the more you think about it, boy, there's so much there. And the Lord shows you more and more things, and you start seeing more things in your own life and how it applies to your life, and you wonder, how did I ever get these thoughts out of that verse? Well, you got it out of that verse because they were in there. And by meditating on God's Word, you're able to extract a lot of that nutrition. We need to be paying attention to the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, so that we have it in our hearts, and so we can understand it and so that we can do it. If you are good at worrying, you know how to meditate on something. How many in here like to worry? How many here do worry? Four, five, six people. Six people worry. Seven people. Okay. What do you do when you worry? You think about something. Whatever the situation is, you read something that's a symptom that someone has, and with that symptom they have a horrible disease. And you have that symptom.
It might be a common symptom, headache. You have a headache and someone else had a headache and they had a brain tumor. And they died after 6 weeks and you have a headache and I wonder if I have a brain tumor. What do? You think about it. You get online, you start Googling the brain tumors and what kind of headaches are they? How do they start and how do they end and what takes care of them? And you start thinking about it and meditating on it and you lose sleep over it. What are you doing? You're meditating. That's what you're doing. But you're meditating on the wrong thing. You need to get into the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God so that you understand the Word of God, so that then you can put on the new man. So then you can be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And look at verse number 13. Matthew 5 and verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Consider, how can you get to verse number 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You can never get to verse number 16 if you're not mortifying your flesh, if you're not putting away the deeds of the old man and having your mind renewed by the Spirit of God. If you're not in the Word of God and the Spirit of God is taking the Word of God and convicting you and changing you and growing you so that you can have good works that will bring honor and glory to the Father, so others can see that, well, there's something different about you. There's something that's changed about you. And that's only results from the Word of God. You can do it in the flesh. You can make changes in your flesh. But people see through that very quickly. Because it doesn't last. Things happen and they see through that. And they realize, okay, that's fake. That attitude she has, that joy he has, it's fake. And it comes out. It's important that we meditate on God's Word and allow the Word of God to change us so that we can grow and be sanctified as we're told in the Scriptures. So the Word of God provides that for us. And we consider how the Word of God provides a scheme for our service. How can we serve God? In Psalm 119, the psalmist says that through His Word, or according to His Word, He says, give me understanding. Give me understanding according to Your Word. And as we want to understand what God's will is for us, how we can serve Him, how we can serve Him acceptably, we're going to find that only in the Word of God. We're going to find that in the writings of men. You can see read a lot of books that men have written about how to serve God. And they're very good as long as they stick with the Word of God. That's what their basis is. But when they leave off the Word of God, they start just going by their own ideas, their own thoughts, how maybe their particular culture in that particular area of a state or country, and they're basing how you're to serve God based upon their experiences, and it's not based on the Word of God. Listen, that might be okay where they're at, but it's not God's Word. In Psalm 119, verse 104, it says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. We want to know how to serve God. We want to know the right way to walk. Well, get in God's Word. You'll understand the right way to walk, and you'll also understand the wrong ways, and you'll develop a hatred for those. Turn over to to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So the Word of God provides us a scheme as it relates to our salvation, as it relates to how we're sanctified, as it relates to our service, how we serve Him, how we can serve Him. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's the Word of God that provides those things for us. As the Spirit of God takes them and works them in our heart, but the foundation for our faith is the Word of God. The Word of God also, as the foundation, provides strength and stability. We showed some pictures of a house my son was working on recently, and they were supposed to replace some windows, and the salesman told my son, "You'll bring some few pieces of extra lumber because there's some rotten wood you have to take care of." And so they started opening up the wall, and they started taking out the rotten wood, and they started taking it out, and got down to it. They had the whole wall out, and there was no foundation under the wall. Everything was rotten. They were holding the roof up with temporary walls, and there was nothing left. There was nothing there. What did they do? They had to bite the bullet, and they tore this lady's house apart, and they had to pour a new foundation, build up a new wall. Why? Because that building needed a foundation. The foundation of a building is important. It's got to go below the frost line, usually. The good thing to do. Provides stability. It protects us against the influence of the frost. You think about a skyscraper, how much concrete is in the foundation of a skyscraper. Why is that? Because it's got to protect against the strength of earthquakes. If you've ever seen the foundation for the big windmills that they have more out west, I haven't seen any around here. Maybe they have some around here. But boy, the foundations of those, how much steel is in those, how much concrete's in those foundations. Why? Because these things are 150 feet tall, 70-foot blades spinning around. There's a lot of forces at work there. And that needs to be able to secure that thing so it doesn't fall over. And I've never seen one fall over from the foundation. I've seen them break midway where they've actually bent over, but the foundation was fine. The structure itself didn't last, hold up the winds, but the foundation was good. A dam's foundation has to be strong enough to hold back the force of all that water pressing against it. For the believer, the foundation of our faith gives us strength and stability when times are hard. When things aren't going as we think they should go, when things aren't what we expected, we need the Word of God. If you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and if you just, I won't read the whole passage tonight for the sake of time, but verses 16 through 19, Peter describes that they haven't followed cunningly devised fables. That's not the basis of their faith. It wasn't these fables. He said, "We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty." Peter and James and John were there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ was transfigured before them. They saw Him shine like the brightness of the sun. They heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." They saw Moses and Elijah alive talking with Christ about His coming death. They experienced that, but said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place," saying something far more important, far more sure than my experience is the Word of God. And your experience can't be your foundation. If you go into hard times, you go into, your wife, your spouse gets cancer, something happens, a horrible accident takes place, and they're killed, or a horrible accident takes place, and they're not killed. They're just wheelchair-bound, quadriplegic for the rest of their life, and you're taking care of them for the rest of their life. Your experience isn't going to hold up to that. You need the Word of God. to give you the strength that you need in those times. Worldly wisdom can't be your foundation. Worldly wisdom will not last. And when you come up against testings and temptations, we consider Christ's example in Matthew 4, verse number 4, verse number 7, verse number 10, with all the temptations that that Satan brought against him, what he used was the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. He said over and over again, it is written. He used the Word of God to combat that temptation. In Luke 8, verse 3, in the parable of the sower, he described those that had no root, that for a while believed, but when the sun came up, talking about the seeds, that they were scorched, they withered away, and used that to describe that for those that hear the Word of God, but they have no foundation, there's no depth there, that when tribulations arise and troubles come, that they soon leave. They dry up. They have no root. And it says that in time of temptation, they fall away. So when we have temptation, we have turmoils. But how important it is that you have the Word of God. In Revelation 3, verse 10, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. But how important it is that we're in the Word of God and that we keep the Word of God. When times of trouble and temptation come, boy, you'll be happy that you've memorized the Word of God. You have it in your heart. How important the Word of God is for the stability in our life and safety in our life and for the security. Turn back to Job 19, if you would. Job 19. Consider the storms that we have. In Matthew 7, Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, those that hear my word are like those that, like the man that built his house upon a rock. And the storms come, and the rains, the floods come, and beat upon that rock, and it won't fall because it's founded upon a rock. Listen, that those that hear the word of God, they receive the word of God, they hear those things and do with them. Listen, you need to be upon the rock when the storms come, when the floods come. And present storms won't destroy you. Consider Job in Job 19. All the storms that were, the floods that were coming up in Job's life, he could still say in verse number 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Well, his faith was tested, but it was built upon the rock, the Word of God, and through all those storms, his faith was not destroyed. In Job 13, verse 15, we see even prospective storms. Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God didn't slay them yet, but Job could say, you know what, if this results in me dying, I'm still going to trust them. I'm still going to trust them. The Bible says that the wicked are like the troubled sea that when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Why don't they have any rest? Why don't they have any peace? Their life's not built upon a rock. And as believers, if we follow that example, we'll find that though we won't be lost, we can't lose our salvation. Well, if we don't know the Word of God and are building our life upon the Word of God, when these floods come upon us, we're going to find our faith shaken. You know, the wicked have a false security. The psalmist talked about this in Psalm 73 when he says that they have no bands in their death. Their strength is firm and troubles come and upon others, but with the rich and these wicked people, it just seems like nothing happens and they're not plagued like other people are plagued, and it just seems like everything is so good for them. But in the latter part of that psalm, he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Why? They had a false security. When you build your life upon the Word of God, it's the foundation for our security. When troubles come, when trials come, we may have fear of the storm. We may have fear of what's going to happen, but there's no fear of the end. We know we're in God's hands. We know that He's in control of all things, and we can rest in Him, though we may have fear of what we're going through because we haven't maybe experienced that. We know in here, if you're saved, you're not afraid of death. The Bible says He's destroyed that fear of death. But how many here would like to be killed, such as was done by 270 during the Dark Ages? How many here would like to be stretched out on a rack and have your toenails and fingernails pulled out with hot pinchers? Have your skin flayed off you and fried up in front of you and fed to your wife that's also in chains next to you and you're still alive through all this? How many of you here would not be afraid to die like that? I wouldn't want to die like that. I'd be afraid to die like that. I wouldn't be afraid of dying, but I don't want to die like that. I don't want to die by drowning. I don't want to die by burning up in a fire. I want to die in my sleep. That's how I want to die. Death doesn't scare me, but dying, we're afraid of dying because we never experienced that. We never experienced going through that valley. But when our lives are built upon the Word of God, we can go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's fear no evil because He's with us. We have that sure foundation from the Word of God. We have that security in those times. We have that hope. When the world looks at us and they can see that we have hope that they don't have, how do we have that? It's from the Word of God. When you're not in the Word of God, they're not going to see that hope. When you are in the Word of God, they're going to see that hope because it's going to come out in your life. And how important it is that we build our lives, build our faith upon the right foundation, not upon our experiences, not upon what others have said, not upon other people's experiences, what other people have said happens, but build our faith upon the Word of God. And because this is the only sure foundation. It's the only sure foundation. Amen. Well, let's stand this evening.